Yes, guys, what's good? You tuned into Mango Masala. My name's Gaines. I'm here with Halima.
Hi, everyone.
And welcome back. We had a bit of a week off last week, but we are back 1st of September.
Someone was like, Happy New Year's for those who celebrate.
It really does feel like it, even like though we've been out of school for like, what, 10 years? I mean, uni as well, but still. It just feels very much like 1st of September is...
It's like the start of something. It's like a new start. Like, it just feels like a start, doesn't it? But I think it's because, like, yeah, it's years of kind of, like, just being through the education system where September is the start. But also I feel like it's the end of summer and it's kind of, like, people are, like, kind of preparing to start winding down a little bit for the year. Start locking in. You know how they say, like, the winter arc is beginning. I feel like it's a lot of that. And also, this year, September started on a Monday.
I know. It does feel very, like, right.
It's satisfying, isn't it?
I don't know if it's something to do with that, but I do feel like this past week has been fall and autumn, which is really weird because I feel like normally end of August is still very sunny, but it really has been, like, windy. There's so many leaves outside. Like, it's very much, like, it's not summer
anymore. I don't like it. We literally went from, like, one extreme to the other. The last sunny day, like, bank holiday, so a week ago today, because I was out and it was really hot. It was like 26 degrees in London. And then literally the day after, it went down by like, it was down to like 19, 20. And it's just stayed like that. And it's been raining a lot. And I mean, it's still pretty sunny outside now, but it's not warm. Like, it's not hot.
It can't be hot all the time though.
Unfortunately, no. I was saying like the other day on my stories that I'm already getting like the winter scaries. I obviously have spoken very openly and expressively on this show about how much I hate winter. And I always say, like, for me, every single year, there's, like, one singular moment where I feel, like, very viscerally, like, because I get quite bad SAD, like, during winter, I get very, very low moods and, yeah. And every single year, there's, like, one singular moment where I feel the SAD set in where I'm like, oh, my God, like, summer is actually gone. Because also, the thing with September is it is my birthday month. Mixed feelings about that. But anyways, it's my birthday month. And I remember my 27th birthday. Like, I celebrate my birthday across, like, a number of days. And then I had, like, the last event, which was, like, a week after my birthday. I had like something at home. I dropped my friend off at the station, and then on my way back it got dark at like 7 p.m. It was like raining, and I just literally, like, you know when you physically feel like the depression has like literally physically entered your body? That's what I felt like. And I had a very similar feeling a few days ago, like on Friday. I was driving home and it was like 8 p.m. and it was dark, and I was like, this is it now. Like, it's just gonna keep getting darker earlier and earlier. Like, that, like, summer's done.
And you know, I've said repeatedly, I don't mind it. Like,
you don't mind it. No. I know you don't. And I just don't understand. I don't know
whether having my birthday a bit further into autumn has anything to do with that, but I don't know. I just don't mind it. Like, if it's, it might be cold outside, but as long as it's warm inside, like, it's cozy.
You know what it is? It is the cold. I don't like cold. But more than that, I feel like I could handle the cold better. It's the darkness. Like, it's the doom and the gloom, especially living in somewhere like Manchester where it is just perpetually grey. Like, you wake up and it's dark. You come home and it's dark. Anything that you want to do, it's dark. Like, you just can't catch a break.
But something that Simran used to say, good old Simran, she used to
that
say...
That old chestnut.
Yeah, she used to say about how, you know, pre-Christmas, it's all right, because it is very, like, twinkly lights and all that. It's actually, I think the worst part is, like, the January and
January blues. Yeah. Oh, my God. January, February have to be genuinely the worst. I completely agree with you. Like, before Christmas, I don't like it, but there's a lot going on. Like, even though I don't celebrate Christmas, there is a lot going on. Like, people are very up for doing things. There's, around Christmas time, all, like...
It's just a lot more lit up outside as well.
Right, there's always stuff going on in whatever city, like Christmas markets, like, you know, people are doing Christmas meals and everything. Even like Halloween time, there's a lot going on. Like November, the Christmas run-up starts, and then you have like New Year's, big celebration, and then January is like, fuck, January is miserable. I would hate having your birthday in January.
Condolences to anyone who does have it. Could never be me. Anyway, seen any flags up around yours?
Thankfully, no. Where I live in London is not, it's like basically not even England. Like my area is the reason why other areas are having flags up. Thankfully, I'm on the right side of town. I know you were saying you've noticed a few.
Yeah.
I can't believe it because it's at this point, it's like, listen, it's not for the football. If you've got a flag on, it's not for the football. Like, we know very, very, in this kind of climate, we know very decisively what it means to have a flag up.
For those that don't know what we're talking about, there have been a number of Union Jack flags, St. George's flags, i.e. the England flag, all going up all around the country in various places. I myself have seen a number on particularly like motorway bridges. On those, and also
roundabouts.
Yeah, the people painting the St. George's Cross on roundabouts. Interesting. But it's been weird, like some places where I might have expected it hasn't been, and then other places there have been loads of them. This latest craze, because obviously I think we're kind of used to maybe seeing Union Jacks around maybe around the time of like a sporting event like the Olympics, or right, maybe like the England flag during like the football or something like that. I will say I do think that it is the women's rugby at the moment, which England are partaking in. But as much as as much as I'm all for sport, particularly women in sport as well, I somehow doubt that the sudden rise of flags around the country is to do with that. This rise in flags started, I want to say, like end of July time, and when various groups that were putting them up were questioned about it, they were going on about how, oh, it's because we're really proud of the country and its history, freedoms and achievements, which there's stuff to say about that anyway. However, I think we would be silly to ignore the fact that simultaneously, whilst all these flags have been going up, there have been a number of protests around the country, largely with the theme of anti-immigration, and a lot of them revolving around the idea of people being against housing asylum seekers in hotels in their various town, city, village, wherever.
Yeah.
The one that's received the most attention would be the Bell Hotel, which is in Epping.
It's not far from where I am, you know.
Really? So it can't be that far from like all these flags then. The reason why that one received the most attention in particular is because allegedly an asylum seeker who was staying at the hotel, they have been charged and are currently on trial for the alleged assault of a 14-year-old girl, amongst other things. And when people caught wind of that, I believe a lot of the people in that area got together and started protesting against the idea of housing asylum seekers in the hotel. People obviously caught on to this across the country and have kind of done kind of copycat things of either congregating around hotels that house asylum seekers or around the places of work of those in control of such, or just in general just congregating with a load of flags. Essentially all with the sentiment of being, we are anti-immigration, supposedly purely because of this incident that happened in Epping. Now, I will say, obviously, if that has happened, that's horrific. And obviously, it's an ongoing trial, so I don't want to speak too much on it. However, it goes without saying that to have such a reaction and to kind of collate all asylum seekers into this one bracket purely based on the alleged actions of one person says a lot more about the people doing that, I would say, than supposedly what we're meant to believe asylum seekers are like. This all kind of kicked off end of July, and it's like the past month, but I'd say particularly the past week or so, it's just mad. Like, so many Union Jack flags, so many St. George's flags put up everywhere.
I think it's crazy, like, how emboldened people are at this stage. Like, it's no secret that kind of Britain has an institutional level of, you know, xenophobia and racism, particularly Islamophobia. And we speak about it literally, like, we've created a whole segment to talk about it, basically. Bad Vibes Island, it is iterations of those issues, isn't it, every single week. I would say, honestly, like, it started like last year, I would say, with you know, the riots that we had last year.
That's definitely where the emboldenment happened, I would say. Yeah,
that's 100%. It. Yeah. That's it. And I think, like, what we're seeing now is just, like, it's a continuation of that. But actually, what it is that we're seeing more and more people veer more to the extreme right, and we're seeing a rise of fascism. And I think, historically, what tends to happen is that fascism rises during times of, like, economic hardship. And you can't separate the two things. Like, if we think about the kind of foremost example of fascism in kind of recent Western history, like Nazism, right? Nazi Germany. Literally, one of the foremost reasons that Hitler was able to, and the Nazis were able to, kind of garner that much significance and power, was because they came to rise at a time where, like, they were in deep, Germany was in deep recession. So this is what always happens, is that when people are in financial hardship, they look for a scapegoat, you know, they look for a way to cope, they look for a way to, they just look for a finger, sorry, they look for something to point the finger at. And unfortunately, in this situation, people have just said it's because of immigrants. It's because they're coming here. There's a rise in, like, violence because of them. There's a rise in unemployment because they're taking our jobs. There's, you know, public services are declining because we're at a stretch. We're stretched because of immigrants. You know, if you can't get an appointment at the doctor's, you can't get a job, your kids' youth centres have been, like, defunded, it's because all the money's going towards, like, immigrants. And it's like, to me, it looks like mass mania. Like, it just looks like people are literally, like fucking, you know what I'm talking about when I say mania? Like, people are literally, like, manic. Like, they are just, like, feeding off of each other's, like, craziness, you know? It's just, but the fact that, I think the scary thing is, like, how prolific it's become. Like, even people and places that you would think before were kind of, like, maybe resistant to such extreme, like, ideologies and movements, like, are no longer. I'm thinking of, have you seen, like, this morning,
yeah,
this flipping debacle with fucking Rylan? I liked him.
Yeah,
I used to like, I liked him.
It's so disappointing.
I
don't think that even necessarily has, like, is that well informed about all of this.
And well, I think, he's not, because he lied. Like, literally, there have been so many news articles that have come out that have, like, fact checked what he said. And this is why I call it mania, because it's sensationalist. It's people who are in, like, dire situations, or who are looking at the state of the country and are declining public services and are just looking for somewhere to point the finger. And they're never going to do it to the government. And it's always, you know, it's always the ethnic, so there's always... Yeah.
And I think, like, that's the one thing that kind of upsets me about this, because, like you say, I wouldn't say I was a fan of him, but I didn't, like, dislike him or anything.
I thought he was, like, a funny, nice, bubbly TV personality.
He's provided, like, a number of iconic British culture moments, like, memeable moments, all of that.
You get what I'm saying?
But then it's like, but I would have thought that maybe, regardless of maybe not being that educated, particularly on these type of issues, you would have maybe done your research before going on national television and saying a load of things that aren't actually true. And the thing is, I think he even said in what he said, like, there's a lot of people that think XYZ, but it's like, okay, fair enough if a lot of people think that, but, like, maybe you understand how much weight this carries. You should probably fact check it yourself before going on like a 5-minute, like, essentially rant about it.
Right. And the crazy thing is that was allowed. It was platformed on kind of, like, one of the largest, like, TV networks in the country. Yeah. You know, like, it's like they let, I don't understand, like, I wouldn't be able to go on and start talking about astrophysics because I don't have a fucking clue what I'm talking about. So I don't understand how someone who is, like, not very, very unqualified to talk about this, and it shows, because so much of what he says has been factually incorrect, and he's kind of, like, you know, centering these, like, sensationalist talking points. I just don't understand how that was allowed. And I think actually that's a very, very dire reflection of where we are in this whole situation, where it's like, because this shit runs, like, people will buy it, people are running with it. There's just like, due diligence has just gone completely out the window.
And I think it's particularly sad as well, because I went and I kind of listened to what he was saying, and every kind of claim that he made, obviously I further fact checked this as well, but all it took was a simple Google search, and straight away, the way the AI is now at the moment in terms of it actually...
It'll give you the answer right there. Top.
Like, that's what I've got. So, like, to kind of counteract these claims that Riley made, to
it's
clarify,
not hard.
Yeah, like, so for example, he was making comments that insinuated that these asylum seekers are staying in 4-star hotels. The hotels that they're staying at might have been 4-star at one point, but these hotels are basically stripped down to the very basic amenities. It is essentially like bunk beds and a toilet. Like, it's really nothing special. So to continue calling them 4-star is creating a false narrative. In terms of, oh, they get handed so free money, essentially living a life of luxury once they get here, they get the smallest amount of money.
Is that less than a tenner a week?
Yeah, so if you're living in an accommodation that provides meals, then it's only a tenner a week, around a tenner a week per person. If they don't provide meals, then it rises to £50 per person. But that's still, like, can you imagine living on £50 a week?
Including, like, all your three meals a day for 7 days a week. Like, it's insane. Like, it's like... But this is what I mean, like, it's like these people have lost all sense. Like, they've literally lost all sense. Like, this country is just, like, in a flipping manic state.
Exactly. And I think it's triggered as well, I would say, by, like, key terms such as name dropping, iPhones and iPads, which, again, like, asylum seekers are not guaranteed to get. If they do get access to iPhones or iPads, whatever, it's for the sake of, like, contacting family after the ordeal that they've gone through. And also,
it's like secondhand phones, like,
yeah, and it comes from charities. It doesn't come from the government, it comes from charities. Right. And the last thing was that, oh, like, they're coming over here and just swanning over and getting your jobs. They can't work. Like, they can't. Yeah, they can't. They actually can't work because they don't have a national insurance number, and they can't. They also are forbidden from actually applying for any jobs until their application has gone through, which up to a year. If your application is taking up to a year, full stop, you can't apply for anything. If it's taking longer than a year, then at that point you can actually apply for certain jobs that they will allow you to go for.
Even then, like, if an asylum seeker is, like, beating you to a job, I think that's your problem. I think that's very much a you issue.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen there's so many clips of, like, these, you know, right wingers being interviewed, and, you know, the person is asking them what's the problem. They're like, oh, they're stealing our jobs. All right, cool. Well, have you, like, what jobs are you talking about? Like, have you applied to so and so? Why do you reckon you didn't get it? Oh, I've been in prison twice. Oh, I don't have any qualifications. Oh, I've not even applied.
Which is, again, it probably shouldn't be the case that because of someone's background, they can't get any job. But it's not asylum seekers' fault.
Exactly that. But this is, like, literally typical. Like, this is people. This is what I mean. Like, it's. I think it's happening because we're in a crisis, but, like, we've been know that, like, it is a cost of living crisis. They've called it a crisis for a reason. Like, we're not in a good way. Like, the economy is not in a good way. The state of people's lives is not in a good way. People's livelihoods are not in a good way. We're seeing unprecedented rises in, like, poverty, even, you know, child poverty. People in employment, you know, are experiencing poverty. And that is a governmental failure. Like, to me, it will never be anything but a governmental failure. And because people are so desperate, that's what they're doing. They're blaming, kind of, it's, you know, it's like the big bad boogeyman kind of thing. And the government are just getting off without any blame, without any repercussion.
I will say as well, like, I know that they've only just come back today, like, on the 1st of September, but I do feel very much like Keir is being very silent throughout all of this, like, nonsense with like flags and that, and or like a very obvious rise in xenophobia.
Well, yeah, because it benefits him, because if they're blaming like flipping vulnerable asylum seekers, they're not gonna blame the government.
I think as well, like, we've spoken about this before, but just to say it again, Ryland, he put out this like thing on Instagram that basically was trying to say, it was basically trying to insinuate, look, like, I can say XYZ and still be like a good person. And one of the things that he said was, you can be pro-immigration, but against illegal routes.
And yeah.
Again, just to reiterate, there are no legal routes to claim asylum in the UK.
Yeah, yeah. And also, like, oh God, it's such like an interesting conversation about what the fuck do you mean illegal? Like, how the fuck, and I say this all the time, how the fuck can a person, like a human being, ever be illegal? Like, we're talking about illegal routes. If someone's life is in danger, do you think they're gonna have the financial or bureaucratic wherewithal to go through a long fucking, you know, settlement process? Like we have these laws, we have these routes enshrined in international law for a reason, you know. And the fact that you don't understand that, the fact that you don't get it, like, it's such a privilege.
Yeah, because again, all it took me was like a simple Google search to see as well how there's not even a visa, right? Like, there's no visa you can apply for to come and like claim asylum.
No, that's literally what it is to be an asylum seeker, is that you just rock up in the country in like extreme situations, and then you claim asylum after you've got here.
Yeah, and obviously in order to get here, we're an island, so how else are you meant to do that? There are like other like settlement schemes. Ukraine, for example, there's actual schemes where they're bringing people over.
That's it. There's this huge, massive like fucking hoo-ha about, you know, migrants and all of this stuff, illegal routes and danger, right? They're spending all our money. They've been given all these privileges. Do we know what happened with like Ukrainian like refugees and asylum seekers? Like, there was schemes created specifically for them that they were, and within which they were given, like, I can't remember how much it was, but it was way more than what the typical standard is. Like, they literally created like fucking an entire system where they were able to go and live with like British families. Forget about having to stay in like barracks in hotels. Like, they were able to go and stay with British, like British people were coming forward, welcoming them into their homes. Like it's just so fucking mental, like how you know, one of this demographic is like, everyone is happy to help and they're welcome and we'll give them everything. And again, as it should be, you know, anyone fleeing war is you know, has a right to come to safety and to be looked after. But why is that not like a universal law for everyone else?
Yeah, 100%. Like, again, like, just to reiterate, like, when we're speaking about this Ukraine scheme, we're not saying that, oh, like, that's a bad thing. We're saying, like, okay,
no, they have a right, but so does everyone else.
Exactly. Like, why is this not extended to everyone else?
Right. And if you can recognize the rights of like one demographic of people to be able to you know, have these rights or whatever, like, why can't you recognize it for all of them? I mean, you know what the short answer is. It's just racism and Islamophobia because of, you know, where these people are coming from. But again, I feel like a big part of the problem now also is just a pure lack of education, a pure lack of like political awareness. You know, like, people think that these you know, instances, these occurrences are completely random. They don't understand, they don't have like actual awareness of the fact that these people are, like, they are fleeing danger, they are fleeing war zones, they are fleeing like domestic conflicts and things like that. And a lot of the reasons that there are conflicts in whatever part of the world, listen, I always say, trace it back far enough, Britain is there, Britain is involved. I just think it's crazy that, as I've always said, a country that, you know, till date has had the largest empire in all of history is now, you know, begrudging the fact that people have come for asylum in their country.
100%. And I think there's a whole like other lane of conversation that people go down where they are like, well, if they were really that desperate, why are they coming all the way here when it's so far away from all of blah blah blah? And it's just the case of, if we were to actually entertain that argument, like, how would that ever work if every single asylum seeker, every single refugee stopped at the first country?
And also, by the way, now that we're talking statistically, most of the times they do. Like, most of the times they do end up in their neighbouring countries or countries nearby. Like, statistically speaking, England or the UK at large takes on a, like, significantly smaller amount of migrants and asylum seekers than so many of the countries, you know? Yeah. So, fucking allow it, man.
The final thing that I wanted to speak about returns back to this fact, this phenomenon that we've seen of all these flags going up, and it kind of relates to, I just want to kind of cover the argument that some people would have, which is like, well, how can you actually be scared of this? Like, it's the flag of the country. Like, how can you say that it's wrong that people are flying the flag of the country that we're literally in? And to that I would say, like, if you've got any common sense, it is obviously to do with the context. Even yeah. though I will say, as someone who has half British heritage, I've never actually felt able to feel any kind of sense of pride from that, purely because, yes, there's like some things they're supposed to be proud of, but for me that's massively outweighed by all the negatives that this country has committed in not so far off history. Like, a lot of this is quite recent, right? So I think already, like, I've never really felt, I don't think I've ever looked at the Union Jack flag and felt like, wow, like, what a great country, because for me I'm always kind of quite cynical about it. That being said, I can understand maybe someone who's not that educated or ignorant to that would maybe be like, oh, like, I want to feel like a sense of belonging or pride in the country that I live in, like, this is my way of doing that. But you can't deny that these flags, like, what they have come to represent,
it's intellectual dishonesty. Like, it's intellectual dishonesty. Like, you're not using it to be like, oh yeah, I'm so proud of Britain and blah blah blah, like, you're doing it to say that, oh, this is like, if this is British nationalism that excludes certain groups of people, basically. Like, that's, you know what that is. And also, like, very, like, historically, flags are really the ultimate symbol of, like, nation states and empires, you know. And again, if you think of the context of what the British Empire is and historically what it has done, it's very hard to associate it with anything good, you know, up until Britain has truly, like, reconciled with its, like, colonial past. I just could never envision seeing that as something, you know, positive. Because don't forget, I'm flipping British too. You know, technically, it's supposed to be my flag as well, but I just would never feel any kind of, like, positive resonance with it.
I think even if there was any kind of accountability or reparations given, whatever, even then it would still be a struggle for a lot of people to actually
very hard
feel
yeah
a sense of pride in it.
Yeah, and rightfully so.
And I will say as well, it obviously comes back to the fact that, look, like, the time that we've seen all these flags go up, if you put two and two together, like, come on, like, if it was that all these flags were going up at the time of, like, the Euros final, which was a couple of months ago or a month ago, whenever, then yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Like, you can understand why it is. The fact that all of these have gone up at exactly the same time that we're seeing anti-immigration protests up and down the country.
Yeah, that's why I started by saying, well, it's not for the flipping football, is it?
Yeah. And I think as well,
you know what it is. We know what it is.
When people are putting up these flags, it's with a message of hate, ultimately.
Right.
And I think that's why, right, like, when right. you're speaking about flags are, like, the ultimate symbol of, like, nation state as well. That's how, like, on the flip side, the fact we've seen so many, like, Palestinian flags, for example, up and about, particularly in the past 2 years, that is a means of showing solidarity with
right.
a state that is currently undergoing a genocide that's been suffering for decades anyway.
You see what the difference is, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, there's like, no hate. There's no hate there. It's purely in solidarity with them and the pain that they're going through. as opposed to literally just being xenophobic, like,
right.
But I'm not that confident that anyone would bother to listen to like this kind of explanation anyway, if they've already decided in their minds that
this is what we keep saying, there's just no due diligence, like people just aren't thinking logically. It is just mania. It's pure mania.
You know, the thing that's so sad as well is the one video I have seen, it's like of a load of kids, and it's like the adults that are at these protests have clearly took their kids with them, and they're just filming them holding up all these flags and chanting, "Get them out, get them out." And it's just like, at the end of the day, so they don't know any better. They don't know any better. And ultimately, it's just going to be the same process, like, in 20-odd years, like, unless there's some serious intervention and education that takes place. Yeah. Which I think, also, there's, like, the British education system has a lot to answer for, because arguably, if we're being taught in school about the horrors of colonialism, maybe, like, kids would actually think, hang on a second.
Yeah.
Like, are we the baddies?
I get what the context is. I get why these people are here, and I get why we have a right to take care of them. Why we have a duty, sorry, to take care of them.
And to close on this like segment as well, I think it kind of comes down to, even if they were like causing our economy to collapse, like we're having like a negative impact on stuff, all of that, at the end of the day, if they're fleeing persecution, if they're fleeing war, whatever,
I think you could wait an extra few weeks for a fucking NHS appointment in that context. Like, relax. Also, let's it's so funny that, oh, they're causing our economy to collapse. Let's talk about how the absolute bedrock of your like economic success anyways is starkly rooted from you know, the spoils of colonialism and empire and slavery.
100%.
You haven't paid a single fucking cent in reparations. This is the least you lot could do.
I actually don't get, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, how did this island go around that much of the world, do all of that, and get away with it?
Because they played dirty. That's literally how. Like, they literally went like mass murdering natives, destabilizing local governments. That's how. Exploiting, tricking, literally tricking people.
Conniving is the word that comes to mind.
Conniving is exactly the word. It's exactly the word.
It's just a sorry state of affairs currently. And then you've got like bloody like Tommy Robinson. Do you see what happened like last week with that man that was essentially doxxed?
Oh my god, with his grandkids. Yeah, I saw that.
It's a video of a middle-aged black man playing with his white grandkids. Basically, the video
painted him out to be like a predator, basically, like, oh, he doesn't know these kids, like he's just like found these random kids in a park and he's like preying on them.
It goes to show like the dangers of like actually like sharing that kind of content online, like people shouldn't have to worry about that. But basically, this video was obtained from TikTok. Originally it was put up innocently by the owner of the content, and it got obtained by the far right, spin on this false narrative that you've said about how, oh, he's a predator, oh, like, how is this, blah, blah, blah. Tommy Robinson obviously gets his hands on it, shares it on X, I believe, and says, oh, what the fuck is going on? Are the police not involved? Where are the police? Something like that. And this man, like, is just, his life's ruined. Like, I think, I'm pretty sure he got, like, suspended from work because, like, obviously they've got to take these allegations of paedophilia seriously. Meanwhile,
but it just goes to show like how, like, it just goes to show like how much of this is just rooted in like mistruths and misinformation. And I feel like when it comes to far right politics, we see this time and time and time again. Everything from like Brexit, the entire Brexit campaign was fought on literally like misinformation and just outright lies. You know, Tommy Robinson has been kind of his narratives and his claims have been dispelled so many times. Even just talking today about Rylan, how he was able to have like a platform on national television and spout things that are just clear lies, and these people just keep getting, you know, like they keep getting a platform, and the British public just keep buying it every single time. And it's like, this concept of due diligence just is just so non-existent. Like, people don't know how to be logical. They don't know how to do their own research. They don't know how to put two and two together. That is to me is what is so dire about this situation. You could tell them anything and they'll eat it because they're that desperate and they're that manic.
Well, that manic for it, that they're playing bloody £28 a minute from Tommy Robinson to get anti-Islam advice as well. Like, I'm sorry, we're in a cost of living crisis. How are you affording?
maybe the migrants aren't the issue. Maybe you just have a really bad money management.
Final thing that I wanted to speak about. Have you seen these new sentencing procedures that the government's looking to bring in? So, basically, judges are going to be able to ban people who've committed crime from social events and venues, such as pubs, concerts, and sports matches, as part of their sentence. I.e., instead of going to prison, people will maybe have a suspended sentence, but they won't be able to go to their favourite concert or go to watch their favourite football team play. Previously, it used to be that your crime had to be associated with the activity, i.e. like football hooligans. If they did something wrong, then they would be banned from football matches. But now, it's going to be anyone, if they do anything wrong, they can have a suspended sentence, but they'll just be banned from doing things that they enjoy. This is basically a move to try and avoid the issue of the overcrowding of prisons.
Overcrowding, my God. Listen, the state will do anything but, like, fund public services. They will do anything but tackle unemployment. They'll do anything but tackle mental health crises. They'll do anything. Like, if we're talking about crime, because obviously there's one part of me that's like, okay, well, this is good, because obviously I'm an abolitionist and I don't believe that prisons are, they're not rehabilitative in the way that they're supposed to be. But also at the same time, like, how the fuck will this do anything? Like, how will this be deterrent? Like, oh, I commit this crime. I've committed this crime and I get to not go to jail, or and instead I just have to forsake going to fucking Box Park. Like,
what the heck? No, but also, if anything, you're probably pushing them back into committing crime, because if you're taking away their favourite things, you're basically just making them antisocial. And like,
right,
how is, they're just going to be miserable and probably end up reoffending anyway.
Reoffending, exactly.
The pure vote. I understand, like, I agree with, like, the prison system needs to be abolished and, like, rethought out. The way it works currently it doesn't make any sense. I can understand with people who are actually dangerous, they maybe need to be kept separate from society in order to not harm anyone, right? But when it comes to most offences, I don't understand why there's such a focus on punishment as opposed to, as you say, rehabilitation.
Rehabilitation,
and
yeah,
that's purely what this is. It's purely how can we punish people, but then we don't want to send them to jail because there's no space, but we still have to punish them because surely that's going to make them not reoffend if we put them out into society but don't let them do what their favourite things are to do. Instead of, like, actually putting into practice effective means that would maybe, like, make them think about what they've done, realize why it's wrong, then not do it again.
Well, literally tackle the problem at the root cause. Like, and this is what I was saying. It's like, if you really want to tackle overcrowding in prisons, tackle the root of crime. Why do people commit crime? It's because they're broke. It's because they don't have money. It's because they're not employed. It's because they're, you know, suffering from whatever mental health crisis. They can't get an appointment on the NHS for 3 years. Like, people are, you know, like, there's so many things that could be done to truly kind of tackle crime and to stop that, you know, prison kind of pipeline.
Yeah.
Stopping people going to an Usher concert, I just don't understand how effective that will be.
No, like I said, in my mind, it can only have negative impacts on the person who you're banning. I think as well, like, look, if you're not going to do anything rehabilitation because you're like, oh, we don't have the funds, we don't have this, blah blah blah, which I don't agree with, but fine if you're gonna say that. Surely even like community service is like a win-win for everyone involved, positive contribution towards society, right?
Yeah, it is just punishment for punishment's sake,
which is not what prison should be.
That's it. They're just trying to find something to deter people from committing crime rather than actually understanding why they committed that crime and tackling, as I said, the kind of the ill, not the symptom.
Yeah, because I would argue 9 times out of 10 people who commit crime, I don't know if it's necessarily because they objectively want to do it.
Yeah, of course. Like, I mean, I think I've spoken before on the show about like strain theory, which is this idea that like crime is 9 out of 10 times like committed because of, that's not a real statistic, I'm just saying, but majority of the time is committed as a response to like some kind of deprivation, you know. And that's why that to me is like kind of the founding philosophy for me being an abolitionist, which is that I recognize that people who commit crime require intervention, and prison is not the right way to do it.
Like, I feel we've gone full on Bad Vibes Island this whole episode.
We have, unfortunately.
But it is like, go out, look around, and you can drive for 5 minutes and then you'll find a load of flags and just, and again, it's not even necessarily the flags, it's what they represent.
That's it, it'll blow over, and then in 6 months' time, there'll be something else, and 6 months' time, this will be something else. Like, we require state-level intervention.
I think that's the scary thing, right, is that obviously last year happened in August, and here we are, like, basically a year later, and maybe not as bad, but a different, maybe it's not as bad, but it's a different kind of the same thing. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, and we're just going to keep getting iterations of this tension unless and until, like I keep saying, we have some kind of state-level intervention.
Which I'm not that hopeful of.
Well, no, because it's the state even needs intervention in this regard.
Anyway, we will see you same time next week, hopefully. More positive vibes, but
yeah,
don't hopefully. Hold your breath.
I'm gonna have to like troll the internet to find something.
Good luck with that.
Thanks, guys.
All right, see you later. Bye.